Jared toss another log on that fire.
Yeah. Sounds like that squishy, was kind of a wet log.
Squishy log. What kind of a log was that you light on that fire?
It's a meat log.
A meat log.
Oh, no. Oh, that was all of our food for the weekend.
That's good. You're just going to cook it.
This is how you barbecue you're camping.
Just throw it directly under the coals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
It's nice to be out here in the woods with you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad we have this air conditioner we brought with us.
This warm, I guess it's September. This on this warm September night.
It's October.
This is October.
It's October. Yeah.
Yeah. This unseasonably warm October.
Global warming, guys. It's real.
Yes, it is real. Probably the scariest thing we'll say on this episode.
Hey, man, look what I did. If you did, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket? Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it like that.
Hello!
And welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we tackle the most pressing issues in the world, fight over what went wrong, and come up with solutions so crazy they just might work. I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm James Miser.
And I'm Jared Saint.
And we're podcasting to you, not live, but... we're alive at the moment.
We're dead.
You don't know that.
In the woods.
You don't know when they're listening to this episode.
Oh, that's true. Well, at the moment that we're recording,
all three of us are in fact alive.
At least at the top of this episode, where we are all three of us are alive. And we're podcasting in the woods today. And the sun just went down.
Yep. It's getting a little chillier out.
Yeah. And, you know,
I put on my flannel, holding my axe close to my side.
I have my down vest on.
Yeah, I've got a thermos of hot chocolate with just a dash of whiskey in it.
I got some marshmallows in mine.
I've got a revolver with one bullet.
Wait, why do you have that?
To play Russian roulette later. Don't worry, I just play by myself.
You play Russian roulette by yourself?
Yeah.
All right. Well, like I said, at the top of this episode, all three of us are alive. And we're gathered around this nice toasty campfire.
I'm half in my sleeping bag right now.
Which half?
Top half. Top half is in the sleeping bag.
You just got your toes by the fire, and the top half of you is in a sleeping bag.
Top half of my bag's in, the top half of myself is in a sleeping bag. Bottom half of me is out of the sleeping bag, also not wearing pants. It's a weird look, but I like it.
Yeah. So, Jared has a revolver with one bullet in it. You're naked from the waist down in front of the fire, and I'm getting drunk. So, typical campfire scenario.
The usual.
Just the usual. I don't know. You guys want to, like, we still have a little bit of time before it's time to hit the sack.
I'm already in the sack.
Except for James, I guess, who's... I'm aggressively in the sack.
I'm halfway hitting the sack right now.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind if you actually just
zipped up the rest of the way. I keep looking over at James every time he talks tonight.
Yeah. Well, at least your voice is coming through nice and clear.
My mic's inside.
The mic is inside the sleeping bag. Okay. Good. It's a little tricky that I can't see what your face looks like, but I can see... Well, I can see... What I'd rather not see.
Well, you should be able to tell how I'm feeling just by that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's not much room for misinterpretation. Anyway, it's we still have some time before lights out. So
we have a strict curfew.
We do have a strict curfew.
We have to be up 3 hours before dawn.
Ugh.
So because we gotta get to see the sunrise.
We're gonna we're gonna try to summit today.
Yeah, we're trying to summit Everest today.
So we have to wake up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we still have some time before we have to, you know, organize the O2 tanks and go to bed. So I was thinking it might be nice if we, I don't know, shared some stories. Or maybe just one story. I think we have just enough time for one story.
All right. I mean, like, okay. Do you guys want to... What kind of a story do you guys want to hear? Like something, like, from my life, or...
Yeah, do you have any, like, Melville handy?
Bartleby was a Scrivener.
Moby Dick. Maybe not that. Maybe something more appropriate to this setting. Like a campfire story, for instance.
Okay. All right. I have a campfire story.
Is it scary? It better be, like, a spooky...
It's scary. It's very scary.
Okay, good.
All right, so... Once upon a time, in the United States of America, a man was elected to the highest office in the country.
And his name, I think I know what the twist is.
Was Donald J. Trump.
Oh, it could never happen. This story is too ridiculous.
and the twist is that he had sex with bugs.
I think we've already had a president that, yeah.
He follows the long tradition of presidents who've had sex with bugs.
Yeah, it's not the cover-up, it's the sex with bugs. That's what really bothers voters.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is a spooky story. I like that you kept it nice and short, too.
Yeah, it's topical.
Yeah. What about you, Jared? Do you know any spooky campfire stories?
Yeah. Once upon a time in the United States of America, a reptilian became vice president to a man who has sex with insects.
Oh, man. Do you think Mike?
His name is Mike Pence.
Do you think Mike Pence is a reptilian?
Yeah.
You'd think if all right,
you could see it
if
in his yellow eyes.
I just that's what well, that's what I was saying. It's like if you'd think if there are reptilians, they would choose better disguises than people like Mike Pence, because he kind of looks like a lizard, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Like a lizard with like whose like skin has been pulled tight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you have a campfire story, Sam?
The only one I know, and maybe you guys can help me out with it, is do you know this? Do you know the one about the teenagers who went to the woods to make out?
What? Teenagers do that?
Yeah, teenagers do that.
Is that why we're all here, Sam?
I mean, I didn't. I'm not making any like you know assumptions or. You know, there's no pressure.
Good luck making out with James.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard that one?
Teenagers making out.
Yeah, have you ever heard the story about teenagers making out in the woods?
Are you talking about the OC?
I've heard it happens on occasion.
I am talking about the OC. No, I'm not. I've never actually watched the OC, so I don't know. Is that what they do in the show? Just teenagers making out in the woods?
I don't know. They're mostly making out in Orange County.
Orange County, yeah. Anyway, I forget what. We're talking about
teenagers that are making
teenagers
out in the woods.
Making out in the woods.
I've never heard of such a thing.
You never heard of that story? All right. Well, this is how it goes, basically. So, this was.
Is that how it goes, basically?
No.
Sorry.
No, that's not how it goes. Well. That's like. I don't know what that was. That sounds like
give me chills.
That sounds like if you've eaten something and gotten like a bunch of blood on your fingers or like meat juice, and you're like licking it off, but
what?
Like, too eagerly.
Yeah. Blood and meat juice on your fingers.
And it just sounded very primitive. The sound that he made. That's all. Not a classy kiss like I was picturing.
A chaste peck on the cheek.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's these two teenagers who go out into the woods to kiss each other chastely on the cheek. This wasn't that long ago. This was just like about 2 or 3 years ago, and they were in a like kind of a busted up station wagon, but they parked in like a pretty close to here where we're actually
really
camping tonight. Yeah.
At the base of K2?
Yeah, it's a popular makeout spot.
It's a lover's lane of sorts.
Yeah. So they were they're parked at the base of K2, and, you know, they started smooching chastely. And they hear like kind of a scratching sound coming from outside of their car, like on the roof of their car.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're like, whoa, what is that?
A little screech, screech.
And the guy, let's call him James.
Yeah.
was like, don't worry about it, baby.
Babe, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just like a branch or something. It's just the wind.
It's like a branch.
Yeah. And the girl, let's call her Jaretta.
Okay.
Jaretta, you know, fends James away for the time being.
Oh, come on, babe.
And then they hear a report come over the radio. The radio announcer says this is like a breaking news story. There's been an escaped...
Do your news reporter voice.
This is an emergency broadcast.
What?
There's been a recent escape from Crazy House Institution of Crazyville.
Oh, snap.
Don't you see that close?
Yeah.
Several patients have escaped, including the very feared hook-handed guy from I Know What You Did Last Summer, basically. Anyway, there's a they hear a report come over the news that there's been an escaped mental patient who's a mass murderer.
He, like, murdered so many people.
And the thing that he's famous for is that he has
How many do you think he murdered?
He has a hook for a hand.
Probably, like, 800 people with a hook. He murdered them with his hook hands.
Yeah.
How terrifying.
Yes, he murdered 800 people with his hook. So James is kind of playing this up to...
Doesn't that, like, turn you on?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you want to, like, scare make out more?
Hook me with your tongue.
This is really weird. Anyway. So, after they hear this story on the radio, they hear, like, another scratching on the roof of the car. And James is like, oh, that's probably the guy. That's probably Mr. Hookhand, which is what he's called.
That's probably, like, Mr. Hookhands. He's, like, super turned on by all this.
Oh, so am I.
Right. Well, you're not.
Yeah. This is not how the story goes, Jared.
Yeah. Somewhere along the line, the story got a little fuzzy. But anyway, James tries to scare his girlfriend because he wants her to, like, basically find comfort in his arms,
yeah,
so to speak.
Find comfort in my arms. And take off your bra.
I'm so scared.
Yeah. And James is notorious for having very comfortable arms.
Look at my biceps. They're like two pillows.
But but the plan backfires because as they keep hearing the scratching sound on the car, Jaretta becomes so scared that she demands that they leave.
Let's leave now.
Come on, babe. Let's just make out a little bit more.
This is a very, I do realize, like, in retrospect, the guy in this story is, like, he is not a very good guy. You should, she said no. Anyway.
No means yes. It's opposite day.
So, Jaretta demands to leave.
I demand to leave. Now.
Shucks. Well, if you gotta leave, then I'm respecting your decision, but I'm pissed off about it.
So James guns it out of there. He's, like, super upset. So he skids away in the dirt and takes her home. And when they get back to her house, she opens the door and gets out of the car and then just starts screaming. And faints.
Oh, shit, Jaretta.
And then James goes around the side of the car to see if she's okay. And when he looks back at, the door, what did he see?
I'm seeing...
A bloody hook!
A bloody hook. Oh, no.
Oh. There, the hook. It was, like, on the door handle of the car.
He was right there. He almost killed us.
And I guess that's the end of the story, at which point everyone's like, whew. That was, spooky, close call. It's, I guess, like, so what happens when I think about that is that they drove off and, like, ripped the guy's arm off? Is that what we're supposed to?
Yeah, his, like, prosthetic hand that has been somehow surgically grafted into his body.
Just got ripped off on the car.
Yeah.
That is how it ends, right? I'm not making that up. Like, they find, like, the hook.
You are correct.
Okay, yeah.
Great story. One of the classics.
I feel like it's not as spooky now as I remember it when I was a kid. I don't remember any of the K2 stuff, for example. Anyway. That's like one of the classic campfire stories, even though it only happened just a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like the prototypical campfire story.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, everything about it is kind of like geared for kids, you know? It's like, it has like a little bit of like sex, but it's like not like, pretty much they're just like making out.
Yeah.
It's like high school kids.
Right.
So like, if you're like a little kid and you're hearing these stories about high school kids, then it's like, that's also kind of exciting, you know? Because like somebody, these you're people like, who are like just awesome. A little bit older than you, and they're like making out, and it's like, ooh, that's like a little bit... scintillating.
Yeah, and you also basic. Like there's also a sense that they're doing something that you know they're not really supposed to be doing. I think that's usually part of it is that especially with teenagers are involved, it's like they're up to something that's like it's not like it's terrible, but it's like kind of just outside the rules a little bit.
Right.
And
something creepy happens
to them.
And then there's a plot twist at the end where it's like, oh, surprise, the guy with the hook was right there.
He was right there.
Oh, it's a it's a pretty obvious plot twist, but
they're usually pretty obvious. That's the thing. So let's talk about that. What is that one's a pretty typical example, but like, what are the things that like all campfire stories have?
I mean, I think that's a big one, right? It's like they all lead up to like a big plot twist.
Uh huh. Yeah, I think that's every campfire story has like a zinger at the end. And that's pretty much the end. It's almost always that's the end of the story.
That's it.
So in this case, the twist was like the boyfriend was like thinking that he was like making this stuff up about the killer to scare his girlfriend. And the twist is that like the killer was like about to get them.
Yeah.
And now I guess he needs another hook. It's,
yeah, that's the actual plot twist. It's like this guy like, oh man, now I gotta make another hook.
Yeah. You'd think that they would have taken the hook away from him at the asylum.
So, but, you know, it's like, it seems like all those guys are always, if you get, I don't know, maybe if you have a hook hand, then it's sort of like, okay, that's, everybody's like, okay, he needs his hook hand.
We've got a plot twist. What else, like, happens in campfire stories? Because I gotta be honest, guys, like, your campfire stories were, like, although they were both topical, they weren't, like... And they were scary. They were scary. They didn't really give me like the chills up my spine that I was hoping for.
Not even when you pictured President Trump having sex with a cockroach.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That was
well. Scaly Mike Pence watches and probably eats a couple of other cockroaches with his reptilian tongue.
He's jerking it.
Yeah, you're right. That's pretty gross and scary. And but you know, here's the thing. And then the one that I told, you know, I wasn't that spooked out by it. But I've also like heard it a bunch of times. I think we should. I want us to come up with like a really spooky, scary campfire story that we can tell that people haven't heard yet.
Yeah, maybe I agree.
Give them chills. And so I'm trying to figure out like what it needs.
I think what one thing that's that you brought up when you were telling the story that is pretty common through all these campfire stories is that this is a story of something that happened close to here not too long ago.
Yeah.
Or like this happened to like my brother's friend, you know, like some sort of like proximity. You know,
there's an implication that it like it could happen to us.
It could happen to us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be that it happened like a long time ago if it's like a haunting situation.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a house, then it's not really a campfire story, but there's like these like haunted places where you can say like, oh, 50 years ago, this terrible thing happened, and then there's like the idea is that there's like ghosts around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's closer to like the whole like Bloody Mary thing, right? So like Bloody Mary famously was a queen that like killed a whole bunch of people, and now if you like go into the bathroom with the lights off, and look in the mirror, and say Bloody Mary 5 times, then
she's behind you.
She's gonna like grab you or something like that. Mm-hmm. She'll kill you. So like that, there is that sort of like that kind of scary story aspect of like even if it happened a long time ago, it could still affect you right now.
Yeah. Well, so with campfire stories, I think there is a little bit of a distinction there. I guess they can have ghosts, but they tend to be... I think they tend to be a little bit more grounded.
Yeah. It's usually...
Right? They usually...
It seems like it's most of the time an escaped psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah, it's like some sort of killer. It's like something that's like loose. It's not even necessarily a human, but it's like something... Because I've heard ones with like wolves.
Bigfoot.
Yeah. But it's like something that could be... Like in the woods where you're telling the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I think that you do want to like sort of. What's cool about a campfire is that it's a type of story that's so specific to the location and the way it's being told. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like always in the same setting, and usually like the audience is always like kids, right?
Yeah. Or teenagers.
Or teens, sure.
The goal is to make it hard for them to go to sleep, right?
I guess if it's, I mean, I don't know if there's really like, I don't know if anybody's like trying to like keep children awake all night, but it's, I mean, you know, they might be so scared that they can't sleep if it's a really good story, but like, I think it's just to like, you're having some fun, you know, and seeing like you can get your friends to be a little freaked out. You guys ever, I was going to say, you guys ever watch that show on Nickelodeon? Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
You watched it?
Jared,
have you heard of that show?
No.
You haven't heard of it? It's basically, so the premise of the show is this like group of teenagers, and they, every weekend, they go out into the woods and like build a campfire and tell each other campfire stories. And then the show, like each episode is a campfire story. And they're not always set in the woods. They're actually very rarely set in the woods, but they're all these like spooky, you know, kind of supernatural and horror stories that these kids are telling each other to like, you know, scare each other around a campfire, basically.
Yep.
And it's a really clever setup for a show. And like at the end of every episode, they like dump sand, I think, on the campfire, and like the fire goes out, and that's like the credits.
It's good to teach proper campfire etiquette.
Yeah,
you have to drown.
Did they also
stir
put water
and
on
drown
it?
Again.
Sorry,
did they put water on it too, or just dry sand?
I don't remember. I think it's like a bucket of dirt that they throw on it. I can't remember. It might be water, but
I don't remember.
I think it's dirt. Yep. Anyway, it was a very popular show for a few years in the 90s.
It's true.
Anyway, the only reason I bring that up is because it's like, I think it's a big tradition, not just with like little kids, but also with teenagers. And I'm not sure if I've ever done it as an adult, but I would if I was like with a bunch of my buds in the woods. And, you know, I guess it depends on the crowd, but yeah. I would tell campfire stories with you guys, obviously, because I just did.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
But would you update what's scary from like,
I think... Well, I think
escape psychopaths to like bad credit reports or something, like stolen identity.
Well, maybe not bad credit reports.
I don't know. Yeah,
something. I think it still needs to be like a physical fear.
Yeah, I think that if we are updating or creating our own campfire story, then I don't want to do like something where it's like, oh, and here's what's scary for adults.
Uh huh. Yeah. No, I don't.
Sick kids and. Being delayed at the airport. Like, that, to me, is not actually scary.
Yeah, no. Those things are... But they're not frightening in the way a campfire story is.
No, they're
right?
Not, like...
It's not the equivalent of, like, when you're a kid and something, like,
gives
you a
chill up your spine.
They might
give me some sort of existential... Some, like, dread
right.
Or, like...
Yeah.
mild depression, but...
It might just ruin the trip. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's like, oh, great. Now I'm just thinking about all the shit that I have to do when I'm done with my camping trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it needs to be entertaining and fun. And
but that is a question, like, who's our audience? Is it, like, basically us and, like, people our age and, like, our listeners?
Listeners.
Okay. Okay. Good. Because I think it's like really easy to scare kids, and you can tell them the same old stories that they've always heard, because it's like they've never heard
new
them
for
before.
Them.
Yeah,
we want something new for our listeners that'll scare the pants off of them.
All right. So our audience is our actual audience. So I think that's convenient. And the setting is we're here at the are we at the base? We're still at the base of K2, even though we don't know where it is.
Well, we haven't. we're not a moving. Podcasting groups, and we're not walking and talking.
Uh huh.
So
So yes.
Yes, we're clearly okay. Still at the base of K2.
Yep.
All right. And there's going to be a plot twist at some point very close to the end of the story. Like, what would be a good, like, equivalent of the escaped lunatic?
For a twist or for the scary
part? No, for the scary part. The scary part is not usually the twist, although it can be. But I think there's got to be, like, a... What is the thing that we're... the creepy focus of our story?
I always like serial killers.
Yeah, we could do a serial killer of some kind. That's like unique to our story.
Or, I mean, we are near the base of K2, which is like around Pakistan. Maybe it's like, I don't know, Osama bin Laden had a whole bunch of sons and stuff, right?
Oh, it's the ghost of Osama bin Laden?
Jeez.
Or one of his children.
Not long ago, not too far from here. Al Qaeda.
This seems like very. That's not for our listeners,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like maybe. I'm sure we have at least a few listeners at the base of K2. But
at least a few.
At least a few. You know, maybe a couple scores. You dozen.
I like to think that everyone at the base of K2 has like nothing to do but listen to our podcast. Anyway.
But I think most of our listeners, when they're telling a campfire story, I hope they retell this story somewhere.
Yeah.
They'll be in like a more traditional.
Yeah, I was thinking
forest camp setting.
Yeah, I was thinking like the, you know, like the woods you might have in like the Pacific Northwest or even in, you know, somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains.
We also have a lot of listeners in Japan, so let's just, you know, make sure that we have a little bit of you know, throw our listeners in Japan a bone here and there.
Okay, so it could also be the woods in Japan. I guess
maybe there's like a Japanese exchange student or
sure. Yeah. Oh yeah,
they're cooking ramen around the campfire.
I guess that's the thing. So well, all right. It doesn't.
Yeah,
really...
they have some unique flares of Kit Kat bars.
Yeah. Yeah, we can work that into the story. I guess. So this is what we're getting at, though. It's like I guess it doesn't matter so much. It doesn't really matter so much where the woods
are. It shouldn't be specific to us.
Specifically.
Because it should say, this happened not far from here, no matter where here is.
Right. So, like, wherever this story is being retold, just imagine that whatever danger we're describing is it's very close to you.
Yeah. So, the ghost of Osama bin Laden's sons is not a good idea.
Right. Because it can't be anywhere.
And anywhere but... Afghanistan Pakistan border.
All right, so
what if there's like a military like facility nearby where they do like cybernetic experiments on humans?
Okay. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, they've been doing it everywhere, near every forest.
What does that mean, that they're putting like in like chips in people's brains?
Like bionic arms?
Do they have Ethernet?
There are all kinds of things.
It. Oh, that'd be pretty cool actually. Yeah. If I could plug in to the internet. Like,
you'd be like Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they making Johnny Mnemonics?
Not even Hollywood's making Johnny
Mnemonics.
Instead
of like an escaped killer with a hand, it's like just Keanu Reeves somewhere in this woods.
I would feel safe if I knew Keanu Reeves was in every woods.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on which Keanu Reeves we're talking about. Because if it's just like Bill and Ted Keanu Reeves, then it's...
I wouldn't feel safer per se. But they did save the world.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Good point. He's usually a hero. Yeah. So I don't. He's not the right villain. Jared's suggesting cybernetically engineered military testes.
Testes.
Don't look at me, Sam.
Close your sleeping bag. Ugh.
What about a clone army of Danny DeVito's?
Yeah, that could be anywhere. You're imagining this is like something that the government is up to at like a secret facility near the woods. Is there just like building an army of Danny DeVito's?
What about like a
the worst army ever?
What about like some neo Nazis?
Okay, oh. They're scary. The only thing though is like they tend to do hate crimes, which is kind of like not very fun. You know, the campfire stories, while they are, like, scary and, like, people, like, might die in them,
yeah,
there's still something, like, fun about it. It's like hard to have fun when you're talking about like hate crimes.
That's true.
So that's the only problem with neo-Nazis. Yeah. Although you don't, you also don't have to feel bad about anything bad happening to them.
It's true,
which is a bonus. It's like I don't feel bad about the guy with the hook for his hand that like lost his hook hand. I don't feel bad about that.
You don't feel bad about it?
No. He was trying to like scratch up their paint job. So
he's probably like dying in the cold and trying to get their attention.
You think so?
You think he was misunderstood, Jared? Yeah.
I think so. And I always wonder where the rest of him is. Like, did they run him over?
It sounds like he got dragged for a while. And then,
yeah, then he probably just bled out.
Terrible way to go.
He should have been more straightforward then, if that's all he wanted.
Yeah, but then there's no suspense if he just like,
hey, guys,
you know,
sorry to bother you, but do you have some water? Maybe a ride into town?
Uh-huh.
I know I have this hook for a hand. It's just... Listen, I had a smelting accident. And
yeah, you know, the guy with the hook for his hand really doesn't get an opportunity to explain himself at all in that story.
I know prosthetics have come a long way since then, but I've been locked up. I killed 800 people with this hook hand, but it was an accident, right?
Yeah, it was like, we don't know how he killed those 800 people. It may have been like, there was like, you know, some
just trying to get
lever that he was supposed to like pull, but he couldn't because he had a hook for hand.
Yeah, and, yeah. He, like, the, it was the classic
train tracks like didn't switch over, and he's blamed himself ever since, and that's why he went into an asylum. and, you know, and he finally escaped, a.k.a. checked himself out.
Yeah, and then
he got lost in the woods.
And then the stupid fucking news anchor guy on the radio just blown up his spot.
I like to think too that the kid would be like, "Why didn't you just use your other hand?" And then he's like, "It's because my other hand is a hammer."
Totally different story. Yeah, he probably asks himself why he didn't use his other hand every day.
I like to imagine that he killed all these people, but he was just tapping their shoulder to get their attention, but accidentally stabbed them in the neck every time.
Again.
Excuse me. Again. I can't believe I fell for it.
I'll never make any friends.
I'm a monster. Yeah.
Should have put a cork on the end of that hook hand.
Yeah. He should watch. He should have watched Edward Scissorhands, which is about some of the same themes. Anyway. Okay. We could have... All right, so there's also something about... Maybe this needs to be updated. There's something scary about, like, the disfigurement of the villain in that story.
Yeah.
Do we want to lose that or
keep
it?
No, I think it's good.
So I think we do need to change it, though, because the whole, like, hook for a hand thing does feel a bit dated.
Yeah. He has a hook for a head.
I mean, that would be troubling. Okay. As far as prosthetics have come, I think if I saw somebody with a hook for a head, I would be I'd be put off. I'm gonna say it. I mean, maybe like I'll be on the wrong side of history here, but like, are we really gonna give our villain a hook?
No. They have two hooks for two butt cheeks.
Oh, hook butt. Why would a person even do that?
You can string a bunch together like those monkeys.
What?
In a barrel?
Uh-huh. Barrel of monkeys. I know what you're talking about. I don't understand your point.
Yeah, you're not stringing people together. You're not stringing these monkeys together by their butts.
I guess their arms and their tails. But you're suggesting... You're suggesting that we create a string of people that are like hooked together by hooks in their butts.
it's very human centipede of you, Jared.
A hook hand and a hook butt.
So this person had hooks put into their butt in hopes that a bunch of other people would also do that,
and then
they could do like a barrel of monkey situation with their hook butt.
Sorry, but.
I just, like, it always amazes me, like, the leaps that your mind will make, you know, that, like, take me, like, another 5 minutes to even understand. That was the first thing your mind went to.
So you're saying no, not that.
I think we can maybe keep looking. It is scary. Hooks and, a hook-butted hook-butted person would be a
hook-butted person.
would be a very frightening sight to see.
I mean, there's a reason. Like, escaped convict is always a good one, or from a mental institution. That's just, it was a classic. You know, people you don't want to meet in the night.
I guess, but I think that's a little like, I don't know. Escaped mental patient is just, it feels very dated.
Yeah.
From a time where people were like, so afraid of the other, you know? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was institutionalized and he has a prosthetic hand. Like, and like, that's supposed to be this like terrifying thing. And, I don't know. I just think we need a replacement.
Mm-hmm. I agree. What about a guy who who's like a escaped murderer, but every time that he's killed somebody, he's chopped off part of his body.
Okay,
he has like immediate regret.
No, it's his signature.
He leaves a part of himself.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean he would probably look very.
I think he'd look gross.
He'd look bad. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd have, like, six fingers and no ears and no eyelids.
No nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No eyelids.
No eyelids.
No eyelids.
No eyelids or nose or ears.
He has a patch for each eye.
He's a skull.
Yeah, he's like a skull guy.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary. Okay, I like that.
He's like a super masochist guy. He, like, gets off on it.
What if he replaces his... with his victim's parts.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he's like a Frankenstein.
Yeah, he's like a self-Frankenstein himself.
That's good. You know what I like? Here's what I like about that is that then you get a little bit of pre-story. Whoever hears about this killer before he shows up, they're like, oh, this guy, he's like, this is what he does. He goes around, he kills you, and he cuts off a piece of himself and replaces it with a piece of you. And it's like, you know, you get to like meet the bad guy before you meet the bad guy so that when he shows up, you like instantly recognize him.
Yeah.
And I think that works well for a scary story. I'm on board. I'm on board with the Frankenstein murderer.
The Frankenstein murderer. What should his name be? Because it shouldn't be the Frankenstein murderer. Should be like the, maybe like the Patchwork Man or something like that.
Patch Adams.
His name is Patch Adams.
He used to be a doctor that shared with humor.
Yeah. But now he kills people and replaces body parts. It makes sense because you would need some sort of medical training to do any of this
absolutely.
Successfully.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd have like surgical training. All right. So Patch Adams. You know, terrific. That's a terrible turn of events. Okay. So Patch Adams has he's left his private practice of curing people with humor, and he's gone on this like rampage where he cuts off pieces of his victims. He cuts off pieces of himself and replaces those pieces with the corresponding pieces of his victims.
Yeah.
And he's out on the loose in the woods. I don't know why he's chosen the woods, but he's out there in the woods.
He's out there in the woods.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a bad guy. Who's the victims? Who are the people who are going to be like? Because you always have to like be like.
He likes teenagers. He likes younger body parts because they're fresher.
They're fresher.
He can. He feels like he can live forever if he keeps replacing his old body parts with young ones.
Okay. So is he like? He's killing campers.
Yeah. Yeah, campers.
That's why he's out in the woods because this is where the teenagers go to drink beer and make out.
Smoke reefer.
Ugh. Smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Toking on their joints.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's good if you throw that in because then you can smoke some marijuana and pass it off as part of the story.
Yeah, and they were all smoking marijuana cigarettes.
They were all
just
dopers.
Like this.
Yeah, I pull out like a huge bong, just like this.
And then they took another hit, just like this.
And then one of the other campers said, "Hey, quit bogarting the bong and pass it to the left."
And then he took a hit just like this. Anyway.
And then one of the other campers pulled out his kit from his bag. He tied his arm off.
And spiked his vein. Just like this. Anyway, so that goes on for a while. So that's what Patch Adams is doing, is he's sneaking up on kids that are, you know, drinking beer and smoking reefer and shooting heroin.
Having sex.
And having sex.
Just like this.
Or however they do it. It's fine, too. So what's the story? It's a bunch of kids around a campfire are the victims. So they're doing exactly the same thing as the people telling the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're actually telling the story of the story that
Oh, that's interesting. So, like, they were out in the woods telling the story of Patch Adams.
Yeah.
And taking hits. While they're telling the story is when Patch Adams, like, cut somebody's ear off or something. I mean, there's, like, a whole bunch of these kids all in one place. Like, it's got to be... He's got to go after, like, one person that has to, like, split off or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so as they're telling the story... They hear something in the woods.
Big fart.
They hear a big fart in the woods. Just like this.
And to this day, if you're wandering in the woods alone, you may hear the sound of Patch Adams ripping ass. Just like this.
All right, so they hear they is that really what happens? They hear a fart in the woods?
No, that's not what happens.
Okay, because I don't know if you were like sitting around a campfire and then you heard like a fart in the woods, would you go check it out? I don't know what I would do.
I wouldn't go check it out. I don't know though. I would probably.
I'd be like, it sounds like there's a person out there like watching us.
Farting.
Just farting. It's hard to be scared of someone who's farting.
It depends on the fart. If it's like a, you know, if it's like one of those like high pitched like squeakers.
So is that scary? Is that not scary?
That's not scary. There's nothing intimidating about somebody who's like trying to be secret, what's like a, watching you behind a tree, and then you just hear like a.
What's a more what's like a scarier fart?
Oh, like a really like what, below guttural.
What's
like,
the scariest fart?
Wet fart. Like a shame. Looks like a really shameless, loud, wet fart.
I don't know if I think farts are scary.
I think there's such a thing as an ominous fart. in this context, I think it could happen.
I don't know.
Anyway, all right. So maybe it's not a fart in the woods, but they have to hear something. Somebody needs to like go
a
rustle, or maybe they don't hear something. Maybe somebody just like needs to take a leak or something. But somebody's got to break from the group. You can't have just like Patch Adams just like slaughter them all. Like, there's got to be, like, some, a little bit of suspense or something.
Oh, you know what they hear?
What?
And then, but you know what? You know what that is? Patch Adams walks out with a
balloon.
Air balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he, like, twists into an animal.
Ah. He's just trying to cheer them up.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the twist? They hear a bunch of scary farts in the woods, and then it's just Patch Adams trying to cheer them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you know what? You know what he does? What? He turns his balloon animal into a scalpel and slices them all.
He turns it into a scalpel?
Yeah, he makes a, you know...
He's also a balloon scalpel?
A balloon scalpel. Close magician.
All right. Just Grim Reapers them?
Yeah.
In one big swoop?
What if... Slice.
It's like, what is that? What if that a way is that a balloon scythe? Shing!
Did he just make a balloon samurai sword?
Yeah. Patch Adams, Patch samurai. Adams.
What if there's a way that he like that he marks his victim?
I think he does, right? He takes pieces of them.
Yeah.
That's like
no,
a,
but I mean, it's like something while the group is around the campfire, like
makes a balloon hat.
Like someone gets hit. Someone gets like hit with something, and then they look, and it's like, it's the red nose of Patch Adams.
Oh, like he threw
his clown nose at him?
His clown nose. Yeah. I don't know if he would throw his clown nose, but you know what? He could at some point in the story take off his clown nose to reveal that he like has like a
he has
like a really gross infected, you know, failed transplant nose.
Hole? Yeah.
Well, because he like chops off people's parts and puts them on his
body. And sometimes
body,
they take and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. He's got like a gross nose.
Yeah.
Under his clown nose.
I think that's cool. That's a good moment.
Oh, you know what it could be? So like maybe that he cuts the nose off one of the people. Like they find whoever like got separated from them, the group. They like find him and he's like missing a nose.
Or maybe they find an old gross nose. Like,
ah.
This is weird.
Yeah. There's just like a gross nose on the ground.
Yeah.
And then they find their friend who doesn't have a nose.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the story, like maybe the reveal could be Patch Adams takes off his clown nose and their friend's nose is sewn to his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good twist.
Their
so
friend,
the twist could, well,
their
I don't
friend
know.
Has a very unique nose.
Yeah.
It's quite square.
I think it should be like a beautiful nose. It should be like everybody's like envious of their nose.
Whose nose? Who has the most beautiful nose?
I like Sam's little button nose.
You like my nose? Is it the three of us? I feel like it's just like you just... I don't know.
I think Kate Blanchett has a great nose.
She does have a... She's beautiful in every way, but she does have a nice nose. So I was just picturing like a group
so
of teenagers.
Camping with us?
And there's like this one particularly...
No, just somebody with Kate Blanchett's nose.
There's a person with a particularly attractive nose, which is remarked upon by all their friends. Like, oh, Kate, you have such a beautiful nose, you know. Let's tell some campfire stories. that's basically it.
But I want a moment where there's like in the story, we're saying like, you know, like Patch Adams always essentially forewarns the campers what body part he's going to steal because he removes his first. And then at that point, like a nose flies through the air, through the fire and lands.
Okay. I mean, that is pretty scary to get like hit with a body part and they don't know where it came from.
I don't know if they should fly through the air. That sounds silly to me. Maybe it floats through the air on a balloon.
Uh-huh. Well, all right. Yeah, I don't know. So the other thing about campfire... All right, here's the other thing about the campfire stories with the bad guy is that I feel like you don't really... You're not... There's no evidence that he is there or exists until the very end. To the victim, anyway.
Okay.
Right? Like, the scratching on the roof, you're supposed to be like, oh, that's just the trees, or it's just like the boyfriend trying to scare his girlfriend.
Right.
But and then at the end, you find out, oh, like the danger was real all along. So I think there needs to be sort of like they're telling each other these stories about Patch Adams, and then they like hear something or see something. They're thinking like, oh, maybe that's him, but you don't really know for sure. Like it might just be, something else. And then at the very end, you find out that it is him.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, but if they get like a nose thrown at them, then you're like, oh, well, that's
oh, Pat
that's him for sure.
You're being too obvious, Patch. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got sort of like our bad guy. We've got the setting. We've got the twist. I have one question about if we're actually doing this at a campfire while we're camping. Do you think should it be self-contained to the story? Or I'm just imagining, like, what happens if, like, maybe one of the kids goes back after the story's over and sees, like, a nose on their sleeping bag?
Ooh, so you're saying, like bring in the story into...
Into
like,
reality?
Into the reality. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, that's kind of like that one that I was talking about earlier where you can, like, there's, like, you have, like, a somebody off in the woods who makes
you,
the sound.
You didn't say that on the... That was before the podcast.
Okay. Well, anyway, that like, there's another campfire story variation where you like have a partner in the woods,
an accomplice
in the woods who's like, it's like, oh, it's like something like, and to this day you could still hear them scream the name, you know, Elizabeth,
Jaretta,
and then you have your accomplice off in the tree line, like scream out Jaretta, and then it's like one last spook for everybody. So is that? It sounds like you're suggesting something like that, Jared. Like that there's like
yeah,
I love
like
that
a, kind of a three-dimensional element.
I love the theatricality of it.
Yeah. That's cool. I don't know how. So, what are we thinking for ours? Like an element like that, like one last spook.
Well, I liked Jared's nose on the sleeping bag.
We're gonna actually cut off somebody's nose and leave it on the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Just have a realistic looking prosthetic.
Oh, we could do the clown nose. We could
clown nose is good.
The clown nose, yeah. Patch Adams' clown nose.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh yeah, what you can do is if we wanted to, we could have like the story's over, and then it's like, okay, all right, everybody's gonna like pack up things. Mm-hmm. We have an early morning. We gotta try and summit tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then as you're like wrapping up, somebody's out in the woods, and they like roll the clown nose into mm-hmm. the across the campfire.
Yeah.
Into the campfire.
And no one notices it, and everyone just goes to sleep.
I like the clown nose. I think that's a good, like, it's because it's a very it's a really like iconic prop that you would, you know, it's also pretty easy to get, so
yeah, it's cheap.
It's cheap. It's all right. So we'll work that into the whatever, like, to into the end of our story. We'll work it
somehow.
We're working somehow that there's like a last scare.
Yeah,
for the actual people telling.
It's exciting.
Okay, so I think what we need to do now, we're gonna pause the recording, and then we're gonna pause our actual campfire that we're really sitting in front of.
Yeah, and the next thing you hear will be our campfire story about
Patch Adams. Patch Adams. All right, I gotta add another log to the fire, and we'll be back in a little bit.
All right, guys, I've got it.
Lay it on us, Jared.
Let it. All right. Okay.
I want to be spooked.
Spook me out.
I've actually got this story that it's something that happened to a couple friends of mine, a few years ago. A different James, not you, James, but two.
You have
two
another
of
friend
my
named
friends
James.
Were in couples. Yeah, I do. Who was dating Jaretta? I don't think you ever met Jaretta, but. James and Jaretta.
It sounds like
weird.
It sounds a lot like the couple in my story that you like actually knew. A couple named James and Jaretta.
Yeah.
that last story was even scarier for you. Yeah.
It was a little confusing for me. And then these other friends, Howie and Kate. They all took a camping trip over a long weekend. And you know, this is a few years ago when we're all younger. They were younger too, and they were just, you know, a bunch of drugs, drinking a little bit. They had a campfire going.
You know what
going.
Camping means when you're a high schooler.
I know what it meant for other high schoolers. For me, it mostly meant just camping.
Yeah, for me, it meant a weekend with my family.
But yeah, I think there's a connotation with camping. If you're in high school, you're going to be up there getting up to a little
not
bit of
having sex.
I don't know. Some kids are up to.
Yeah, not me though.
Yeah, me neither.
You sneak us. You use a fake ID. You get a six pack.
You drink in the woods, and you maybe do some drugs.
Yeah, and then you know, it's getting late. It's dark. And
these
like,
are all things I was not familiar with in high school.
Maybe it's for the best. Let's see where the story goes. All right.
Enough about my high school experience.
All right, Jared, what happens next to your friends?
All right, well, my other friend, James, was just like, hey, you guys, I've got a scary story to tell you that happened right here in these woods. So everyone was like, okay, all right, James, like, let's hear your dumb story. And he's like, there used to be a hospital not too far away from here, a children's hospital, and this doctor, his name was Patch Adams, sort of presided. He was like the main doctor taking care of these children. Unfortunately, he thought laughter was the best medicine, and it turns out that is not true at all. Yeah. Actually,
they made a movie about this.
Yeah, but what's interesting about the real Patch Adams is that there were so many kids that died under his care.
Yeah. Because it was a terrible way to practice.
It's not the ideal way to have a hospital, but
it turns out penicillin is better than laughter. Yeah, so many children under his care died that something inside of him snapped completely. And it pained him so much to see these innocent children dying, and he just thought it was such a waste, that he actually, after he snapped, he started removing parts of his own body. Like, he started with his fingers, and he would graft on the fingers that he took from the deceased children.
Yeah.
As a way, gross. For him, he thought this was a way for them to continue to live on.
Sure.
And it... and right, obviously, yeah. It was obviously
it makes a kind of deranged sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, he snapped. I get it. It's like it's not illogical, but
it turned into an addiction for him. Like it, he actually found that he felt better with body parts from children, and so he started seeking out children with specific body parts that he wanted to replace, and he would slit their throats and then take the part of their body that he wanted and replace his own with theirs. And wow. The authorities eventually figured out that like this children's doctor had gone completely mad, but the only evidence they ever found of him was his own discarded body parts and a clown nose. So rumor has it that Patch Adams still haunts these woods looking for new victims to take their body parts.
That's fucking gross.
Yeah, that's a gross... So wait a second. That's the story that your friend was telling in the woods.
Right, James was telling the story.
I'm just trying to get it all straight. So your other friend, James, and your friend, Jaretta, and Howie, and Kate went into the woods, and then James told this story.
James told the story. That's the end of James's story. Yeah, so James told that story, right? And everyone was like, oh, man, that's just kind of messed up. They're like, that really happened? You're not just making that up, James? And James is just kind of like, yeah, no, that's a real story, but now I'm, don't judge me, guys, but feeling a little bit horny.
I think I knew your friend James as well. It's a bit crass.
Yeah, but you know, he'd been with Dredda a long time, so they had kind of a crass thing going on between them.
That was their their subtle signal to the group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at this point,
feeling a touch horny right now. Shall we retire to the tent?
If you'll excuse us.
Yeah, and so Howie and Kate kind of, you know, they're like, ah, that's so James and Jaretta. And Howie doesn't say it out loud, but he's also feeling similar, in a similar mood.
He's like, in his mind,
this story was a real turn on to these guys.
I want to bone. Really, honestly, like they're just passing the time until they can find the excuse.
Right?
To bone.
They weren't even. Nobody was even listening to the story. They're just like, is it time to have sex?
Is it time
yet?
To have sex?
Yet? Yeah. So Howie kind of scooches up next to Kate.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
I think you're like a little too close right now.
Maybe we should establish that you are...
Oh, I'm Kate. I'm Kate. I don't think I'm going to do the voice. I think I'm just going to be my own voice, but I'm Kate. I'm a prude.
Okay.
So Howie is a bit... My friend Howie is a bit of a deviant, and my friend Kate was a bit of a prude with a deep voice for a female.
Hey, Howie.
Hey, Kate. You want to, like, make out or something?
I mean...
You want some more wine? You want some more Mike's Hard Lemonade?
I'll have a Mike's. Just a little.
Here. Take it. Here, I'm gonna pour some of it into my mouth, and you just drink it out.
Can I have my own bottle, please?
Come on. It's fun.
I mean, it's kind of gross.
And as Howie and Kate were negotiating over the mics, they heard a sound coming from James and Jaretta's tent.
What was that?
I don't know. Just like it's totally cool. They're just like fucking around. See? That's just James. He likes to. It's his thing. He's
like, I don't know. It sounds like a creepy laugh to me.
don't even worry about it. You know, I've heard James have sex like 7 or 8 times, and it's like this every time.
Okay. I have to say, as Kate, I am a little uncomfortable in this situation. You're like, how he's being a bit
don't
aggressive.
Don't be so uptight. Come on. It's fun.
Okay. All right, Jared, what happens next in the story?
As Kate was deciding whether or not she was going to continue this situation with Howie, the sound from the tent suddenly changes to what sounds like a scream.
Oh, nice.
That definitely sounded
she
like...
She definitely came just right then.
I mean, it sounded like she was maybe in pain.
Yeah, pain from having too much good dick.
I gotta say, I'm a little... You're really not who I thought you were.
What? Come on!
Howie?
Kate, come on.
I'm a little bit worried about Jaretta.
Don't worry about her. She's having, like, the time of her life.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I should check on her, maybe.
Just come here.
Howie, no.
You know what? Fuck it. Like, I knew you would be like this, and I'm just going to, like, go jerk off in the woods or something.
Fine. God. Gross.
Howie leaves the...
Jared, did we take some liberties there? We kind of ran away with that scene. And now, like, how would that... Okay, that's what happened to your friends.
Yeah.
How he left and jerked off in the woods.
he was Weinsteining.
Oh, man. All right.
Howie got up to go.
So, all right, Jared.
Well, sorry,
Jared, what happens next in your story? Yeah. Like, Kate, yeah, hey, no, Howie... Yeah. What happened?
Howie got up from the campfire and went to go feed the plants. And and Kate noticed that it was actually... The night suddenly felt very still. And it was just complete silence. Which
except for like a rhythmic shuffling not too far away in the bushes. And, something. I don't know. I think she would. And, anyway, sorry. What does she hear that's not Howie jerking it in the bush?
Well, Kate decides that in the silence that she will soon hear Howie, and she doesn't really want to, so she gets up and heads back to her tent. And at that moment, as she's approaching her tent, there's actually the same laugh that Howie attributed to James. She hears again, but off in the distance. And she looks at James and Jaretta's tent and sees that the tent flap is open, and it looks like Jaretta's foot is hanging out. So she walks over to the tent with her flashlight. She opens the flap and turns the light on, and just lets out a horrifying shriek because what she sees in front of her is James and Jaretta both dead. Their throats are slit. Jaretta is missing her two kneecaps, and James has no thumbs.
You took her kneecaps? How does one even take a kneecap? Anyway,
it's kind of like, it looks like a grapefruit after you scooped it out with a spoon.
Gross.
And James just has 4 fingers and no thumbs on both hands. And they both have clown noses on. So Kate, immediately after seeing this, bolts out away from the tent and screams for Howie.
Yeah, it's Kate being very scared. Howie
sort of slowly walks back into the campground, zipping up his pants. And Howie doesn't say anything here. Same this as you would say, we need to get out of here and call the police.
We need to get out of here and call the police.
Or actually, say maybe we could say James and Jaretta are dead.
Right. They're dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Howie, James and Jaretta are dead.
What?
They're dead. We have to go. We have to, like, find the police. To call the police.
Fine. Let's go.
So they...
Then what?
Kate
jumps into the driver's seat, and Howie gets into the passenger seat next to her, and she books it out of the campground.
Pedal to the metal, baby.
Is that what Kate says?
Yeah, she's like an action star suddenly.
Yeah, so they peel out. They like pedal to the floor.
And I need to make a... I'm trying to call the police. Kate's trying to call the police.
And Kate is trying to call the police, but doesn't have any cell service because they're in a forest. And everyone knows you don't get cell service in a forest. But she remembers there was a gas station just outside of the park boundary. So she drives as fast as she can until she sees the gas station. And she pulls into the parking lot and stops because you shouldn't call and drive at the same time. She didn't have hands-free driving.
Sure. Yeah, it's responsible.
No Bluetooth. Yeah, it's an old, like we said, an old car.
Right. This was like while you were in high school. I get it.
Yeah, as she's starting to dial the police, she notices a little bit of blood on Howie's neck.
Howie?
So she stops.
Howie?
She stops dialing.
What happened to your neck?
She turns the interior light on, and she sees stitched scars around his entire face with blood dripping down his neck. And he starts to laugh.
You know, they say that laughter is the best medicine. Pull my finger.
Did she pull his finger? What happens?
Kate is nearly frozen in fear as she realizes that Howie doesn't sound like Howie. And the only part of Howie that looks like Howie is his face. But her arm trembling, she reaches out to the outstretched finger, grabs a hold of it, notices its suppleness, its smoothness, almost like a baby's. She pulls on the finger, and his arm falls off.
Gross.
That's it, guys. It wasn't Howie.
That is gross. Yep. It was.
Wait. So who was it? If it wasn't Howie. Was it James?
It was not James. It was Patch Adams.
Oh. Okay.
No, actually, I got it. I got it when it was revealed that he had a bunch of stitches on his face. That's a dead giveaway.
That's a classic classic patch giveaway. If you see a red nose, I guess.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. You guys like while you were telling that story, you'll never believe what I like found in my sleeping bag. Check this out.
Oh yeah, that looks great on you. That cute little red nose.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a good look.
Give a little honk.
Honker.
That's so cool.
Or should I say, because I'm the bad guy.
Wait, so were you the guy in the car?
It's really me.
It was you the whole time?
Yeah, before we started this, years before you guys met me, before we started this podcast, I was a deranged doctor.
I feel like you should have gotten that it was you earlier. When she saw the stitches on your face.
Yeah, I just thought maybe it was about a different deranged doctor.
You're like, I remember this.
This is all sounding familiar now.
All coming back to your memory, Palace.
It was a long time ago. High school. You know how things are in high school.
Yeah, I get it.
You become a deranged doctor. Real quick.
So did you do a full transplant into this newest body, or...
No, this is a bunch of pieces from other bodies.
Oh. News to me.
I got a lot better at it over time.
You know how you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice. This has been a very spooky... I mean, like, it's been nice, like, hanging out with you guys by this campfire at K2.
Yeah. I've got to say, though, Sam, I don't feel comfortable falling asleep with knowing that you are... Patch Adams.
Yeah, knowing that you've lied to us for such a long time.
Eh, you'll get over it.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a pretty big betrayal to find out that your friend literally isn't who he said he was, even though you've known him for a very long time. It's kind of upsetting.
Well, what would make you feel better? A joke?
Yeah. Tell me a joke. Make me laugh.
Pull my finger.
All right, here I go. You just farted.
See, it's funny.
It's kind of funny.
Laughter is the best medicine.
It reminds me of that movie Mafia. You remember that movie Mafia?
Vaguely.
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely.
There's a lot of finger-pulling jokes in that movie.
It's a really high bar for humor. You know, I guess that we're not above, you know, so...
Well, yeah, it sounds like you haven't been above it for quite some time. You know.
Well, guys, I think it is time to put out this fire and call it a night. What do you say?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hold on, let me
tomorrow.
Zip the bottom half of this sleeping bag.
That's right. You have become visibly more disturbed over the course of that story.
It's called shrinkage.
Yeah, I've noticed that you were... I could tell when you were getting scared.
I mean, it's... Okay, in my defense, one, the scariest story. Also, we're on top of K2, or rather the base camp
cold,
for K2.
Yeah.
It is quite cold.
It is cold. I mean, I don't know what you were thinking, but...
The fire's been dying out, so...
Fire's been dying out.
Or maybe I was trying not to guess what you were thinking.
All right, well, we'll summit in the morning.
All right, we summit in the morning. and then next week we're still back on the podcast for more scary stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
October continues.
Spooktoberfest.
Okay. Well, if you listener have any scary stories that you would like to share with us, why don't you go ahead and write those into a 5-star review, which you can leave for us on iTunes, maybe we'll use that at our next campfire.
Yeah. If you have some jokes that are better than pull my finger, go ahead and tweet those to us.
We dare you.
At that's not fun.
If such a joke exists.
And I think on this week's episode of the podcast, we'd like to give a special thanks to all of those teenagers who've died horrible deaths in all these campfire stories. All these horny teenagers.
Yeah. Let's remember all those horny teenagers.
We remember you.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for making the story more suspenseful.
All
right.
Bye.
Until next time.
Have a spooky Halloween.
Bye-bye.
Bye.